One of the most overlooked steps in the risk management process of establishing an agency is succession planning. Bob Rankin, co-founder and owner of Van Dyke Rankin Insurance, shares with us why developing and implementing a succession plan is vital for continued growth. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We are here with Bob Rankin, who is a former owner of Rankin, Van Dyke and Rankin. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about the structure of Van Dyke and Rankin. We were talking a little bit offline about how you own one part still, but then do not own the other. So tell us a little bit about that structure.
We actually had separate entities for the property and casualty section, which I've retired from, and separately had a life insurance agency as a different entity. Mm-hmm. And we still own that part of it.
Okay. So kind of retired, but not quite yet all the way, right?
Yes, that's true. They've been very complimentary to call me every once in a while and ask for comments. So that makes you feel good.
There you go. Well, tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school?
Brenham native. Lived here all of my life. Fifth generation. Mm-hmm. Went off to school and graduated from Texas A&M University. Started into the insurance business in 1968.
Okay.
So it's a lifetime deal. As of this October, it'd be 50 years of being in the insurance business.
That's incredible. I'm always fascinated. How did you start in the insurance business? Everybody's story is different.
My first partner had reached an age where he wanted to bring in someone to join him in the agency. Mm-hmm. And I bought in, and he trained me initially, and then eventually we went into the CIC program for additional education and so forth, and strongly support that program.
How do you think that the CIC designation helped you?
First off, it's a good education of basics. Second, it sets you apart from others that do not dedicate that time to earn the designation and keep it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a valuable asset to everyone that is a member of CIC.
I agree. I'm a CIC myself, so I know how rigorous that program is. So when you started in the insurance business, before you did you think that that's what you would be doing your whole life?
Absolutely not. I was like most people that graduated from college and really didn't have a target. Unlike someone who was a doctor or attorney or a scientist, I graduated with a business degree and just wanted to be in business, but mm-hmm. no idea whatsoever that I'd wind up in the insurance business.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad to have you. That's how most people get into it. They just fall right in. Nobody really plans on going into the industry. So when you started with the agency, how long did it take you guys to really start looking at the way the business was structured and talk about succession planning?
Well, initially I was a partner with another person, and we were in partnership until 1974, then I was on my own for a number of years. In 1981, Eddie and I decided that it would be advantageous to merge. Mm-hmm. And it worked out really well. His interests and mine were different as far as day-to-day responsibilities. He was more interested in outside sales and not worrying about paperwork, and I was more interested in some of the inside management. So it worked out really well.
Okay.
And we have enjoyed that partnership successfully for a long time now.
So when you guys merged, How long did it take before you started talking about what steps you need to put into place should something happen to one or the other of you?
Oh, initially, when we started talking about our merger, one of the things that we needed, that we discussed, was succession planning, stock redemption. We also discussed disability for the two of us and made a disability plan. We entered into a commonly called a buy-sell agreement or stock redemption plan, and funded it partially through life insurance. The disability portion, we actually merged in with Social Security, and at a certain amount of disability, there was a stock redemption agreement.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later because I want to explore that disability option some. But for those who may not know, can you tell me what the definition is of succession planning?
To me, succession planning, it affects any business owner, partner, closely held corporate stockholder, sole proprietor. It's to have a plan. Basically, you need a plan to begin with. And the role an insurance agent, in my opinion, can take is pointing out the problem and providing funding and maybe coordinating with the people that you need to put together to form a succession plan.
And how long did it take you guys to actually formulate that plan and get it instituted?
I can't remember back then. That's been a long time ago. But
Fair enough.
It was pretty quick. I mean, we started talking about our merger, and within 90 days, we had pretty much ironed out all the details, met with attorneys, developed our plan, and so forth.
That's pretty quick. That's, as far as succession plans go, that's pretty quick to get it formulated that quickly and then hammered out with the attorneys, which takes the longest.
Attorney, CPA.
So how, when you're looking at that succession plan, how do you start looking at disposing of your interest along the way?
First off, if something happens to disable one of the partners, or they meet an untimely death, we don't want to wind up being in business with the estate.
Sure.
So we funded and planned for an immediate stock redemption or buy-sell should something happen on death of a partner. And on the disability, again, we took that into consideration also.
And you were telling me an interesting story just a few minutes before we began about a local businessman here in Brenham. Who is that, right?
Yeah, it kind of hits home to what we've been talking about. I don't know his particular circumstances, but from an outsider's point of view, this individual was in his 40s, died, and there is not an apparent person in the business to take over and run it. So his father and mother are in their 80s. His wife was not active in the business, so it's possible that that business could be up for what I would say as a fire sale without funding, without something to tide them over long enough to sell the business for what it's worth.
Right. Because when we have a situation like that where we don't have a plan in place, then there's really only a few options. Like you said, the fire sale, or they could run the business into the ground. Hopefully, we've got somebody who's in the family who might be able to take it over so that doesn't happen. So we want to make sure that we're putting these succession plans in place so we don't have a situation like that, right?
Right.
Okay. So when you're talking about your gifts and, I'm sorry, your interest in the business, there's a couple of different ways that you can dispose of those. So we've got gifts, and then you can do some capital transfer, right? And then liquidation, and then of course the buy-sell agreement that you did, or you could do a combination of any of those. So why did you pick the buy-sell agreement?
Well, basically, Eddie and I just agreed. first off, we agreed that we could always work with each other while we're both able to. Mm-hmm. But should something happen to either one of us that prevented us from being in the business actively, mm-hmm. we just wanted the other person to have first option and responsibility for buying the remaining partner's interest. Mm-hmm. We did not think about gifts and so forth. As it turned out, actually wound up selling my stock to Eddie's son. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm here to agree to it.
Right, right.
And he's here to agree to it.
Right. So in the event of one of the partners, something happening to them, you definitely wanted the business to continue.
I definitely wanted the business to continue in the ownership of the remaining mm-hmm. partner or stockholders. Mm-hmm.
And how many employees are actually here at the agency now?
25, I think it is.
Okay. And how many did you start with?
Oh, when we started,
it was a long time ago. Fair enough. Fair enough.
We're probably around 15.
Okay. So you had quite a bit of growth from the time when you started to now. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine as a business owner, when you have, as we were talking before offline, that you have such a low turnover rate here at the agency, that I would imagine the employees become a second family. So part of this buy-sell agreement, is that also to take care of the employees that are here?
Well, the intent is to keep the business going. Mm-hmm. And we have some key employees that have stock ownership. Mm-hmm. Of course, our employees are our business, and we want to make sure that they can continue to have an income.
Sure, sure.
So that's important also.
Okay. Now, is that original plan in place that you and Eddie formulated?
As far as I know, it is being continued with new ownership.
Okay.
Eddie is still active in the property occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Section and still owns stock, but the others that are stockholders all are subject to or parties to a buy-sell agreement or stock redemption plan.
Okay. And when it was first formulated, was it just you and Eddie that were the only
initially,
members of
yes,
that agreement?
Initially, yes, it was.
Okay. So there had been some modifications along the way.
Yes.
Okay. And is that as new producers or new partners came on and they bought stock in the company?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Is it just the producers that are the key employees, or do you have others that are key to the business?
Currently, it's producers.
Okay.
Are only producers right now.
Okay.
Of course, we've got other 401k and all the other benefits for staff.
Sure. Okay. And how many partners are there in the buy-sell agreement now?
Four.
Four. Okay. So we went from the original two now to four.
Yes.
Okay. And do you have the same terms as you originally had?
I believe pretty much so. There is, I don't think the agreement itself has changed or been revised that much.
Okay.
It's basically was set up and it continues each time someone else changes. When we have a change of people, mm-hmm. they just are parties to and sign an amendment to the buy-sell agreement.
Okay. So you guys did a good job all those years ago, because the original plan, you're just making tiny modifications here and there, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about when you started the buy-sell agreement, the funding mechanism that you used was life insurance. Is that right? Okay. What type of policy did you use?
We used permanent insurance, whole life, the old original fully cash value life insurance, mm-hmm. Permanent. We also, I think it had some term insurance involved there.
Okay.
Also, Eddie and I have 7 years difference in age, which gets to be a factor on the costs of life insurance policies, of course, and funding. So it was partially funded through life insurance. It was also funded within the agreement for payout to make it affordable to the remaining people.
So you didn't just use one product, you actually used a couple of different things to get, okay, that makes sense. And we talked a little bit earlier about that disability provision that you had in the agreement. What was the definition of disability?
6 months in our case.
Okay.
We would continue full benefits to a partner or stockholder for 6 months. After 6 months, they would be eligible for Social Security disability, and they would need to sell their stock to the remaining partners. And the terms of sale were specified, buyout, and so forth. But basically, disability is the same consequences as death of a partner, permanent disability. So it needs to be addressed.
So was the disability for their own occupation or another occupation, or was it just solely for the business?
I don't know. I don't remember the definition that we had in there for disability, but I think it was total and permanent disability. Any job, I believe.
There was a definite definition within the agreement.
There's a definition in there.
Okay. Do you feel, based on your experience through the years and knowing the agreement that you put together, do you feel that that plan has been successful?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We had a comfort level all through our partnership years until retirement, and we basically at retirement we had a formula established for value, and it made everything go very smoothly. If something had happened to one of us in the meantime, the plan would have been instituted and the agency and employees and so forth would have continued under the newer ownership.
And when you said that there was a formula for the value, that's the value of the agency at the time of retirement, is that right? Okay. Okay. So then you factor that into the terms of the agreement when you retire?
Yes.
Okay. What advice would you give someone else that's going into business and thinking about drafting a succession plan?
First off, it needs to be a combination. The insurance counselor is in a good position to be able, for a client, to point out the problem, so to speak, and the solutions, and to coordinate. But basically, it needs to involve CPA or accountant, it needs to involve the attorneys, it needs to involve the insurance agent, and the family, the spouses, and so forth, of the stockholders. Along that line, our buy-sell agreement also includes signature of spouses so that they are in agreement in advance to what would happen in the event of stock disposition.
Okay, so it's not just the two of you making this decision.
Oh, no.
There's an entire team of people.
It is a team effort, and each one of those parties brings in their particular specialty. There are tax consequences to how it's set up. It's to be discussed with CPA. Of course, the attorneys need to draft it so that it's legally defensible. So forth.
And fair and equitable for
both
parties.
Fair and equitable.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that's an interesting and a very important piece is that you're bringing families and the spouses in at the beginning as well. So everybody's in agreement. So if the tragedy does happen, then everybody knows what part and where the
money's
going.
It takes all the guesswork or unknowns out of the picture. Basically, a good succession plan makes things transition smoothly with very little interruption due to the whatever event triggers it.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you talking with us today about this.
I enjoyed it. And, Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching our resources videocast. We would like to thank Bob Rankin and the exceptional staff at Van Dyke Rankin Insurance in Brenham, Texas, for allowing us this opportunity. Look for more information about succession planning in our upcoming enhanced CIC Life and Health programs. For more podcasts, visit our website at seic.com.